So, do I go?
Oh, I didn't know that part.
This is worth repeating.
Okay.
This is worth repeating.
Live storytelling from Texas Public Radio.
My father hails from the La República Dominicana, the little city of Dajabón on the border with Haiti. So I'm biracial. My father's Dominican. My mother's from Columbia, South Carolina, African-American. My father had joined the army by way of New York, got stationed at Fort Jackson in Columbia, South Carolina, met my mother, who was an up-and-coming R&B singer, but left her career to raise myself and my brother. But growing up as an Army brat, it really opened my eyes to multiculturalism. It opened my eyes to a variety of different ethnicities, cultures, religions, and things of that nature. But even though at the same time, I was still trying to figure out who I was. I didn't speak Spanish fluently. I wasn't quite black enough. So where do I fit? And then on top of that, my father is Roman Catholic. My mother's Baptist. So I'm going to praise and worship. I'm going to mass, and I'm confused. And so that marriage didn't last long. My mother remarried. My stepfather, African-American, half African, he biracial as well, African-American, Japanese. Learned some Buddhism along the way. So, just so you know, that's what happens. Roman Catholic, Baptist, sprinkle some Buddhism, Muslim. So, fast forward, I decided to become a Muslim at the age of 17. And this is in 1994. And I joined the United States Air Force. I did 14 years enlisted time with the United States Air Force, and during those 14 years, I deployed. I went to Kuwait for Operation Southern Watch. I went to Afghanistan in 2002, and I went to Iraq in 2003. And I want to use that as a platform because it was really in 2001, September 11th, where my identity became more questionable, not only for myself, but for my fellow citizens whom I was serving, and I serve to this day. And so I'm going to tell you a story of what happened. Everybody here, if you were alive during that time, you know where you were on September 11th, 2001. For me, I was enlisted in the Air Force stationed at Yokota Air Base, Japan. And I was flying back to the United States right here, San Antonio, right here. My father had retired out of Fort Sam, got set up here in San Antonio, came to visit with my three-year-old daughter at the time. And I was here with him for a week. And on September 11th, early morning, got to the airport, San Antonio Airport, got on the plane, and we took off, headed towards Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina. But we had a changeover in Atlanta. Well, that morning, the pilot comes over the intercom on the plane and says, "Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have to land. We're over Little Rock, Arkansas at this point. We have to land." It's like, okay, we don't know what's going on. We can't tell you what's going on. We don't know anything more than what I'm telling you. We've been ordered to land. We have to land right now. So please don't ask any questions. You'll find out when we land. So we land. Now, for my veterans that are in the audience, you know that when we go on leave, we don't shave, primarily. I don't shave when I'm on leave. This is something that we do with regularity while we're in uniform. But as soon as we take off the uniform and we're on vacation, let it grow. Let it grow. So I had a full beard by this time. And being a Muslim, I wore a white kufi and a white thobe on September 11th. So the plane lands in Little Rock, Arkansas. I let everyone get off the plane. I'm with my three-year-old daughter. She sleeps, so I just wanted to let everybody get off. Grabbed her, picked her up, grabbed our carry-ons, go out of the plane, go up into the terminal. And everyone, I see it crying, yelling, screaming, just in complete shock as to what they're seeing on the television screens. And then what occurs, everybody's face looks my way. And they, what do they see? Do they see an American citizen, a man who has served at that point 7 years in the military? No. What they see is what they think, what they conceive to be, someone from the Middle East. And so there were reactions towards me. I grabbed my daughter. Security from the airport, security men, three men walk up to me. Sir, you need to come with us. What have I done? Nothing. Fortunately, they were there for my security. They escorted me out of the airport to a Greyhound bus so that I can, myself and my daughter and others, elderly from the plane, could be driven to Atlanta. When I arrived to Atlanta, as many of you, if you remember, all of the airports had been shut down. All of the hotels were filled up. So there was no place for me and my daughter to sleep, except for in the airport. Well, there were many people in the local area of Atlanta that came to the airport to open up their homes, say, come on in. Stay with us until the planes continue, or you have some other means of transportation. And so I remember that my daughter, for those of you that have been to the Atlanta airport, you know how large it is. Well, it became empty in the middle of the night. It was completely empty, except for the janitorial crew. So it was just myself and my daughter. But there was a family, husband, wife, and three little children that came to the airport looking for someone to come into their homes. And they were wearing, now remember what I was wearing, white kufi, white thobe, full beard. And they walked past myself and my daughter. We were asleep on the bench. And I overheard the conversation. Well, we got to have somebody. We got to open our home to somebody, and they're the only ones here. Yeah, but they look kind of, the guy there, I don't know. You sure about this? Now, what they were wearing, we love Jesus. T-shirts, all the whole family. So the husband, he says, you know, dear, I think we need to. I think it's the right thing to do. So he approaches me. He says, excuse me, sir. I sit up on the bench. I said, yes, what can I do for you? He says, actually, we're here to do something for you. We want to open up our home to you. Would you please join us? Well, by this time, it was 2-3 o'clock in the morning. My mother and my stepfather from Fort Bragg, North Carolina, were already driving in, so they were only about an hour out. But I expressed my appreciation to him. I also told him who I was. I gave him my identity, military ID card, showed him that I was in the service. He thanked me for my service. And he actually apologized. He apologized for any current and or future challenges that you may face. That sat with me up until this day, because from that moment forward, whether that was being deployed to Afghanistan the year after, 6-7 months later, or deployed the following year in 2003 to Iraq, and hearing and understanding that the way that people engage me is because of the lens by which they see me. And I have to respect that. And I acknowledge that. But at the same time, opening up doors such as this one, let me get to know you and you get to know me. Let us break bread and share our stories in the hopes that we come to an understanding that Our identity is not limited to our parents. Our identity is not limited to where our parents are, where they came from, their ethnicity, what our religious identity may be. Our identity truly rests in the fact that you're a human being and I'm a human being. And I have to have the same dignity and respect for you as you have for me. And I think if we all come to that understanding, we will have such a great, much better world. Thank you very much.